the gracious Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that just as the time passes, as the generations pass, and as the generations get further away from the generation, the age of the era of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as time goes further away, passes, then bad effects will come into society, and it will get worse, and it will get even more worse. What will be bad about society, or the generation, or the era, as it goes further away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What we will see is that the human being, he will reduce the preparation for Jannah. People who will be destined for paradise will be less, and there will be more people destined for hell. In other words, such deeds will be executed by people, such deeds will be implemented by people, that person or those people will be running towards hellfire. Generation being in a bad state doesn't mean that there's a disaster in society, or that there's all helter and skelter, and that progression, advancement will finish. Rather, advancement will continue. There'll be buildings, science, technology will progress. There'll be material things and attractive things. It doesn't mean that these things will disappear, no. What does it mean by bad effects in society? It means that there will be no deen, the right way of life. People will become weak with regards to focusing on their destination. They'll become extremely weak and negligent. For what reason will they become weak? Because fitna, corruption and wrong actions, that will be the era of fitna, of challenges, corruption, sins. Such fitnas will come into society and in that generation. According to the hadith, it is stated there will be such issues, just like the rain as it drops from the sky, from the cloud. You know, the rain drops, tuck, 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 onto the ceilings, etc. There'll be so many fitnas in society, just like rain when it continues, one drop upon the other drop, upon the other drop, upon the other drop. Fitna will descend like that. It will spread like that. It'll be so difficult for a human being to understand that, is this fitna? What is this fitna? What is this action? What is this factor? So speedily will the fitnas increase. Imagine that generation, the era. Maybe we are far from that generation. Yes, but the effects of that generation or era we can see. Allahu Akbar. So what is fitna? What are the challenges? What are the trials? What is the corruption? The pious predecessors have defined the word fitna. Fitna is that which makes a human being weak on his deen. Weak on his deen. He is somebody who's praying salah regularly. He's praying salah, praying. He disappears. He leaves salah. Oh, I don't feel like praying now. Oh, just a little bit lazy. He starts smiling and smirking when he's making the excuse. This feeling is what? What is this feeling? To leave salah, behind that, there's a reason. There's a force that has made that person. That is the fitna. When an individual doesn't want to sin, he sins when behind him there's a force of fitna. Remember this. Sin is caused by fitna. So if there's no fitna, a person will not sin. If there's fitna, then it will prevent him or divert him from good deeds, from pious deeds. A person has the tawfiq, ability to do good deeds, but fitna will make him run away from the good deeds. As he's progressing, he'll divert his path away from his destination. A person can make many excuses. Oh, is this reason, X, Y, Z? All these reasons will put forward. And it will be so many fitnas in that time, so many fitnas that after sinning, the individual will not consider that he sinned. Rather, it's his habit. It will become his habit. He won't listen to dalil, proofs. The proofs and the explanations will not absorb into his brain. He will not want to understand. He's not interested. So tell me, how bad will that age be, that generation be? So all that's left now, in other words, what I'm saying is that a person is actually saying when he's living a life of fitna that may I die and go into hellfire. May Allah forgive my brothers, that this generation we're in doesn't have a reduction of these issues, does it? If we just look around and scan with our eyes, you are mashallah pious individuals, I speak about myself. You know, we say that, oh, the feelings change, the emotions have changed, the person's progressing, suddenly he changes. He knows that an action is giving him benefit for the hereafter. He's been told that this action will give you loss. But don't know what is it that forces the individual to do that sin, and that is what we call fitna. The pious predecessors have stated that so many fitnas will be. The example, just like the raindrops falling from the sky, that's how many fitnas there will be in that era and age. But the reason for all these fitnas will be two. Two reasons. Only two root causes that will cause the person to go towards the wrong. All the fitnas we have around us, there will be two reasons for that. For those fitnas. What are those two reasons? Wealth and beauty. All of the fitnas, their root cause will be wealth and beauty. And this is distributed even more into detail, because there are two forms of human beings, man and woman. Yes, woman and man. Now women, what will take them far from deen? The fitna of wealth. Wealth will take women far from deen. Materialism, material things, dunya, glitter and glow. And the factor that will steer the men folk away from deen will be beauty. Common, regular, I'm saying. On average, whenever a man will turn away from his deen, be weak in his deen, take a U-turn, turn his face from the deen, the force, the factors that will be working on him, the fitnas will be jamal. In other words, the females, the women. Very quickly, people who are on the deen within a woman will grasp that. That person who's progressing on the deen, he'll suddenly collapse. That's how strong is that force. And the women are also weak with regards to that factor. That dunya will overwhelm them. Love of the dunya will overwhelm them. They won't see anything bad with regards to the dunya. Oh, what can we do? We have to live in parallel with the times and the age we're in. How can we do this and leave that? We've come to this place, we've come to that continent, we're living in this country or that country. Region-wise, they'll distribute their issues, but deen is everywhere. Deen is global, and it's not difficult, alhamdulillah. Nobody stops you. Very cooperative society. How many years we have lived here? 40 years, 50 years, decades, alhamdulillah, with ease we're practicing. Nobody interferes with our amal. Very good peoples. Make your masjids, make your mosques, and go out and speak what you want and do what you want. And wear whatever attire you want, whatever clothes you want. No issues. But just please observe the law. The Quran tells us that our deen teaches our religion. Whichever country you live in, you should observe the laws. Sharia gives this hukum. Islam teaches us that you've come to this country, the law of this country, that your Sharia says that you have to abide by the law of this country, whether it's a law relating to health, society, or council affairs, etc. That Islam encourages us to abide by the laws, and it would be haram for us to break the laws of the land that we're living in. Ask the ulema, the scholars. Yes, this is how much respect Islam gives. So they'll say, pray Salah, pray wherever you want. You can pray everywhere. You can put your prayer mat here. If you're on the motorway, lay your prayer mat out. Yeah, but what do we say? That we have issues in other countries. I'm just talking about the majority. Obviously, there are issues everywhere you go, but majority. Could we get a masjid there many years ago? But today we're sitting here in the masjid. So this is fitna. Oh, I make an excuse, so I had to leave my country and go to another country, I had to leave my deen. This is fitna. This is an accusation on the people of this land that they will bear witness on the Day of Judgment. They're speaking nonsense, that we never told them to leave their deen. We never forced them. Fine, we did what we want, but we never took permission from them to practice their deen. Yes? So, they'll say that, open a Darul Uloom, open a Madrasa, or if you want to teach your children, if they wear imama, they have imam on, they can wear their attire, they can wear their dress. Nothing has been said. There's no opposition, there's no clash. Isn't this the case? So it's our own selves who make up the barriers and excuses. And this is fitna. This fitna. Otherwise, there's no negativity that allows us, doesn't allow us to practice Islam. There isn't. And Islam itself is very great that it protects the society around us. Islam promotes peace, protection, aman, harmony. Our deen, religion, is such that alhamdulillah, it expands the bonds of fellowship and friendship. Rather, the basis of our iman is that we've come to this country, we're living here, and our du'as and ibadah, after we perform them, we should pray that Allah give them betterment, give them goodness, give them hidayah, so that they can prepare for the hereafter as well. We've done hijrah, we've come here. Am I right, am I wrong? So is this not fitna if we don't have regard for them and pray that they have a better life so they can improve themselves? So this is an accusation that we've come to this country, I can't practice here, I've got to migrate somewhere else, I can't practice this action now, I can't do that action now. So who's stopping you? Those who don't want to practice, they're the ones who make the barriers, and they have spoiled their children, they've spoiled their women folk. Nobody has told you to leave your deen. Nobody has told you to leave your deen. Okay, there's a little bit. Everywhere you go is the same. Why do you exaggerate? This happens in Muslim countries. This happens everywhere around the world. Am I right or am I wrong? Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes? Isn't this a big fitna today? So these are all fitan that have grabbed us, grappled us, and we're happy. Oh, I'm saved now. I will say on the Day of Judgment, I had to move to another country. I couldn't pray Salah. I couldn't practice my deen. Very regularly, I've seen people who work, I've heard them, oh, I've done this myself. That I worked myself 1 year, many years I worked, and no salah of mine was ever delayed. Nobody stopped me from praying salah. When I worked, they respected the pray salah, please. Please observe your prayer. And with me this happened. I don't know why others make excuses. Why? Because if fitna doesn't affect a person, then he follows his correct deen. And then Allah Ta'ala says, I will help you, I will assist you. Yes, because it's Allah's order, it's Allah's instruction, it's Allah's country, all the countries are Allah's, the whole world is Allah's, it's Allah's deen. So if you walk forward to practice the deen, Allah says, I am with the Muhsinin. I travel along with the Muhsinin. I'm supporting the Muhsinin. So promise from today, if ever you get an excuse in your head, any of your child, son or daughter makes an excuse, oh, I don't get time to pray, I have to go to school, this is an accusation, this is fitna that you are generating. In reality, you can practice if you want to. So never accept this excuse. Never. Never accept this barrier and this blockade. Don't blame other people's. Blame yourself that you are shaitan. I am shaitan. I'm immersed and drowned in fitna. And the Prophet ﷺ 1400 years ago told us that each age and generation that gets further away from me will get worse, and it will be more involved in fitna, and you will be yourself immersed in fitna. Is this not the case? So this excuse, I've come to this country, we have to take off parda, take off this and that, change our time. No one's telling you, no one's forced you to do this. That it comes out of our mouths. Understand the reason this is fitna. And what is fitna? It will take a person and drag him into hellfire. May Allah forgive. So what we need to see in our lives, my friends, that Allah Ta'ala give us halal rizq. He's given us halal rizq. He's given us land or assets or money, wealth. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So what do we need to do? That consider these and make these all ni'mah and bounties of Allah and be grateful that Allah, I will never break your instructions and I will never disobey you, and swear that Allah will never disobey you. This is the stance we need to have. Because if we do, then everything behind us will become fitna. And we need to suppress the fitnas. How do we suppress the fitnas? That, mashallah, if we look at hadith, hadith is taught, we have speeches on Jummah, the scholars are doing work of Islam, jamaats go out, people invite you for 40 days, for a week, they go and knock on the doors and promote Islam. What is this? What is the force behind this? It's happening in this country. Does anyone stop you? Tell me that when a jamaat goes and does gasht and spreads deen, has anyone stopped you that don't go and do tabligh? Hands up if you've been stopped. Prevented? No, freely you're spreading the deen. You're trying to save your children, bring them towards the good environment. Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. What a beautiful work of the deen. So all of these works of the deen that we're doing, we say, no, we can't do this. So what is a person that immersed in? Fitna. When he wants to prevent or stop. With our eyes, we see our children sinning, and they wear clothes, they're half naked. We see them in a bad situation. We say, oh, it's the fault of the environment we're in. This country. What's the fault of this? And okay, they've got their lifestyle. They have their way of life. That's their choice. Do dua. That Allah do dua for their prosperity, so they can get iman as well, so they can get a good hereafter. Allah do dua. Allah give them hidayah. Because they've accommodated us. They've hosted us. Anyway, so what we need to cry about, what we need to have remorse about, is then death going to come? If we die in this state that we are immersed and occupied in fitnas, we're occupied in fitnas, and we have made deen a joke. Every instruction of Allah's, we break whatever we like, we do what we don't like, we leave. This is a very bad death indeed if we die in that state, and we should not be satisfied today. Today, we're in a very bad situation, very bad circumstances. Very bad. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith which is narrated in Mishkat. Listen to this. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He stated, fortunate is that person who is saved from the fitnas. Subhanallah. Fortunate and lucky is that person who is saved from the fitnas. The gracious Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this twice in this hadith. Beautiful and fantastic subject of this hadith. Fitnas will come. Challenges will come. This is the day and age of challenges. But it cannot be until Qiyamah. If somebody wants to be saved, he can be saved. He can prevent himself. And the hint has been given, the direction has been given this hadith. If you want to be saved from the fitnas, Dajjal will come. And you can be saved from him as well, because the Prophet ﷺ has told us the formula. Don't lose hope. It's our fault if we lose hope. Allah may give us understanding and courage and tawfiq upon this. That if today we see that salah, we're praying in congregation, we become weak. We used to come into zikr, we've taken a U-turn. We used to come to salah, we've taken a U-turn. We used to go on jamaat and do chillam, we took a U-turn and started shaitani actions. This is fitna. What have we done? That you are sitting in the masjid, what have you done? What have you achieved? This is fitna if we take a U-turn on all these things. We need to be saved from these fitnas. The life of a mu'min should be masjid, outside, chilla, home, jamaat. Wherever the mu'min is, deen should be attached to you. Deen should be attached to you. Yes? Deen doesn't change from geographical location. I'm in the masjid, I'm a mu'min. When I come out of the masjid, I'm disobedient? How can this be? Allah's hukum is not this. Allah said, I created your insan, human being. And the best thing for a human being to do is to believe in Allah. After believing in Allah, then according to the iman and faith in Allah, you have to practice the deeds. And you have to decorate your deeds and make them beautiful as amal of salihat. Yes, Allah's order, I created you. After creating you, Allah says you have to recognize me. That's iman. You have to recognize your Lord, Allah. Allah says when you recognize me, then you won't worship others. You won't make 5 gods or 10 gods. You will recognize me, Allah says, me. Recognize my signs. Look at the sky, Allah says, you will recognize me. Look at the stars, you'll recognize me. Look at my creation in the world, you'll recognize me. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard, Allah says. Lillahi ma fi samawati wa ma fil ard. Every atom, particle, piece of dust in the world will bear witness that Rabb is here. He is my Lord, Allah is here. Subhanallah. Allah has created these trees, Allah has created the sand, the waterfalls, and the fountains. Allah, how did this come about? These are all witnesses that Allah is there. So did Allah not create you? When you see my signs, Allah says in the Quran, then you'll say suddenly, Anta Rabbi, Anta Rabbi, Allah, you are my Rabb. Verily, you are my Lord, nobody else. Subhanallah. Allah says, recognize me. And the name of recognition is Iman. Whoever recognizes his Rabb is what? Has Iman in his heart. This is Iman, when you recognize the signs and your Lord directly. Whoever recognizes Allah, then in front of anyone else, he doesn't bow, submit, he doesn't consume haram. He has trust in his Rabb. Whoever recognizes everyone, he has. That was a child when he recognizes his father. Does he not trust his father? And if he doesn't know about his father, he says, I don't know. Him to grab me or kidnap me. Why is he taking my money? Why is he loving me? Why is he got affection for me? Why is he calling me? He'll be afraid, isn't it? But as soon as the child is conscious that this is my father, then he said, this is my daddy, this is my father, and everything he's doing is for me. And five, he'll say, oh, no, no, I'll give you more. He'll recognize his father in the same way the creation who recognizes the Lord. He says, Allah, give me more. Allah will do more for you. Allah, give me this and give me that. Allah, take the sickness away from me, because he's recognized the Lord. Just like the child recognizes his father, he asks from his father, Father, give me this, I want that. The servant of Allah, he asks from Allah. He doesn't run from Allah. He goes to the court of Allah. Even if he needs a needle or a pin, or if he's thirsty, doesn't get water, then who will he say? Who will he request from? Not anyone else. He says, Allah, give me water. Because Allah is the one who gives water. Nobody else. That Allah will crack the earth open, he'll give the waterfalls, the rivers, and the fountains. So if we recognize Allah, will he not give what we need in our hearts? And this is called Iman. So when this becomes the belief of a human being, then the next stage is that after this stage of Iman, the human being himself automatically starts to implement good deeds, pious deeds, according to Allah's instructions to implement. These are Amalus Salihat. That if you pray salah, this has become a pious deed. If you've left haram and you've been saved, this is a pious deed. Two things are amalus salihat. Two, because Allah's hukam goes both ways. Don't drink alcohol, don't do sin. Okay, Allah, we won't drink alcohol. Pray salah. So enjoining good, doing good, and leaving evil, leaving sin. Both sides are pious deeds. So whoever has this iman, believe that he won't wilt, he won't shake, he won't divert. When his iman gives him good deeds, pious deeds, yes, amalus salihat, then he becomes pleased with Allah. He becomes pleased. Allah, I'm pleased with you. Allah, I'm pleased with you. When Allah is then pleased with him, then obviously he will do the good deeds in his life. When Allah is pleased with him, then his death, how will his death come? Subhanallah. Allah will say that you are happy with me and I'm happy with you. Come into paradise. No hisab. No reckoning. This is my life and your life. So let's analyze now. Where are me and you now? Where do we stand now? That Allah says, I'm responsible for certain things, and you are running after them, and we've left the deen, and this is fitna. This is fitna. This whole program that diverts us is what? The fitna. We don't pray salah on time, we don't leave haram, we do bad actions. Allah's hakams, we don't bring them into being. Allah's told us to wake in the morning, we don't. Allah told us to spend the afternoon in the same way, we don't do that. We should spend the evening in the same way. If we're not doing this, what is that? This is fitna, we are immersed in fitna. This is not Allah's deen. Allah's deen is ABC. Allah Ta'ala has told us how to do it. So what is it that's causing destruction of Allah's deen? The fitnas, the trials, the challenges, corruption, sins. So we shouldn't put one hand on the other and cross our legs and say, oh, I'm forced to do this, I've come to this country, what do I do now? No, whether you're in the desert or the jungle of his salah time, announce it yourself and start praying salah. Allah's order. Allah's order. Is this not the case? Allah has told you that if you don't have water, I've made the earth pure for you. Your niyyah will tell you that there's soil around you. There might be stool or excrement around you. Allah says, no, here's the land, the soil that is clean. Do wudu, tayammum with that earth, with that soil, and you can stand in front of your Rabb and pray. Subhanallah. But if you're impure inside, Allah says, then purify yourself. Beautiful, so utilize it. Whatever you want to use, Allah says, but there'll be no one more dirty than you if you're impure inside. But when a person assigns himself to Allah, the soil cleans him. The dirt cleans him. So shouldn't we become human beings like this? Rasulullah said, this is possible. We shouldn't make an excuse, oh, Dajjal came, I came to this land, at that country, I don't know about Salah. No, it's possible for every human being to be good and pious. So I have to ask myself today, am I following the deen of fitna? 1 minute I'm this, the next minute I'm this. Some minutes I'm consuming haram, or going after haram, or I'm committing sins. If this is my deen, let me analyze now. If I do dhikr now, I leave the gathering, then I start and become occupied in wrong. These are fitnas. I'm lying. If a person was to be born like this, no, he wouldn't be born like this. A mu'min, a believer, what makes him disobedient? Or what makes him a hypocrite? Or a munafiq? What takes him far from Allah? The fitnas take him far from Allah. The fitnas. So to be saved from fitna is possible. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person who's saved from fitnas is fortunate, most fortunate indeed. So here, alhamdulillah, there's a good piece of news that the pious elders have taught us. The person who tries and strives and makes effort to be saved from the fitnas, he's the fortunate person, says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you're fortunate that you're trying, you're making effort to be saved from the fitnas. And whoever tries, Allah Ta'ala always makes him successful. Always remember this. So brothers, will we try? Inshallah. I'm not giving a speech, am I? I'm not giving a speech. I'm speaking about the pain in our hearts and our griefs. I'm just speaking the facts. I'm speaking the facts. Where are we standing? Where have we been sent to? Who sent us? What should we be done doing? But we are lazy. And don't lose heart. Don't lose hope. Promise that I will not allow any fitna to come close to me in my life. I will try my best to save myself from the fitnas. And I won't just save myself, rather my family members, my children. Oh, if the wife and children say, no, we're in this country, we can't help it. Say, be quiet. No drama in our household. Now from today, we'll see who's stopping you. Yes? Put the parda on. Say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And improve your life according to Islam. Just like you are in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh. Start it now. This is nonsense, rubbish. This is your nafs that you're following. Will we do this? Inshallah. That's when there's a benefit of coming and sitting in front of me. Otherwise, what's the point of coming? That if we keep saying ba-ba and speaking, what will we benefit? I have no habit of just talking for the sake of it. Tomorrow you will bear witness on me and I will bear witness for you. Either you will leave and be destined for Jannah or you'll leave as a munafiq. Allah says both paths are there. When Allah Ta'ala reminds, when Allah invites somebody towards His deen and Allah wants to save that person and give him paradise, then it's so easy for us, and it's a massive favor of Allah. He's taken us from our homes, taken us from the material world. He's overtaken our heart. He's brought us to this masjid, seated us down. Who prepared all of this? Allah prepared all of this. Why? Because He wants to take us to paradise. Allah wants to take us to paradise. We say, no, Allah, leave it. I'm not interested. I'll come some other time. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A person who feels like this inside, do we make proper niyyah today? Inshallah. Do we make niyyah? Inshallah. Yeah? So, this is from Allah, the method, because the method that Allah formulates is never hard. The Rasulullah is rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the universe. He's saying that the person who is saved from fitnas is fortunate. And if he wants to save us, would he ever say to us, oh, you've come to this country now, this fitna, pack your goods and sell your shop and leave and go to another country, go to Arabistan or go to that country? Allah's Nabi said this. He said, you came here, your children were born here, your business is here, I'm going to tell you to leave here. No, you should live as a Muslim here. Yeah, stay here, be firm, steadfast, and you'll be a proper Muslim and you'll die as a Muslim here. Yes, and such a Muslim you'll pass away as, that here where you live, even these people will love you. And due to you, they will also bring about iman into their lives, into their hearts. This is the shan, the status of a mu'min. The glory of a mu'min. Has deen spread by force or by swords? By guns or missiles or bombs? Or by killing people? Has Islam spread? This is rubbish. Total nonsense and fitna. The people who say you have to spread Islam like this. Islam doesn't spread like this. These are not people of Islam. These aren't the people who are spreading Islam. Islam, the people who spread Islam were those, if you look and read Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar's kingdom, his leadership, his rule, did any non-Muslim say that, oh, you brought a sword and forced me to come into Islam? No non-Muslim ever said this. With love, they would come to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, you are Umar, you are the commander of the faithful, that you are such a great king, and you are lying down on the earth, you sleep on the sand, and this is your home. If you are the leader, then your deen must be so great. And many great personalities said, please bring us into Islam. And where Islam spread like this. Yes? And we will be asked two questions. Those people, we today who eat roasted chickens, how many chickens have we eaten since we've come in? Halal, goats and sheep. We say we don't get food where we came from, etc. Fine. If Allah gives His favors and bounties, then we'll be questioned in a severe way. Allah isn't there as of that just eat halal meat, then do what you want and commit sins, and your children are committing sins, and your wife's committing sins. No, that's not why Allah has given us halal meat in this country. No, these are gains for a few days. I've prayed Salah for a few days. I've done so much in this Ramadan, mosque full. And after Ramadan, we go again towards the wrong actions. Allah has given us such a great deen, open free reign to practice. Allah will ask us tomorrow, that why did you leave the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why did you not implement the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why did you take a U-turn? You're speaking rubbish. They didn't say to you, don't practice it. Why didn't you wear imamah? Why didn't you keep the beard, the correct full length beard? Why didn't you do it above the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You'll be asked, we'll lie. Allah, James or Jim, he said to me, don't practice. This is nonsense. Allah will say, they didn't say to you. It was you yourself. You were a sidekick. Yourself. It was your fault. So will you wear the sunnah attire? Will you? Nobody will say nothing to you. Until today, 40 years, no one's told me not to wear this libas. Nobody's come to me. No one's ever said to me. Until today, no one said anything to me.
Man ahya sunnati inda fasad al-ummati. So this is the fasad generation Rasulullah is speaking about. What's he saying? That when the generation of fasad will come, then the people of Iman will take big benefit in that generation, in that era. The people of Iman will reap the big benefits in the era of fitna. Fasad. It will become Jannah for them. Why? Because they will benefit so much in the day and age and generation of fitna, fasad. The person of Iman, he will earn overtime at that time because he will implement the sunnah. On every sunnah, he'll get the reward of 100 shaheeds. 100 shaheeds. He will be in a takeaway in a line and he'll say, Subhanallah, shall I leave the sunnah? What will he do? He will buy a burger or a takeaway and he'll go and sit in the corner. And you'll start eating according to sunnah. Nobody will say nothing to you. Nobody will look at you twice. You say, Alhamdulillah, eat in the sunnah way, 100 shaheed reward. This is the field we have, the open field to earn. But we're monkeys today. We're monkeys. So many opportunities to earn from morning till night. I swear by Allah, angels and the hoors will be shocked in the heavens. What great people. Allah's opened their fortunes. Allah's given them a great opportunity to earn. In the world, that we can earn so much as one sunnah, the reward. Rasulullah said there's a massive reward for practicing one sunnah in this country. We've been sent, we're getting food, clothes, chapatis, bread, tabligh, salah, dhikr, everything. And alongside that, in parallel, such a great opportunity to earn on one condition. Allah says, don't leave the sunnahs of my Habib. Don't leave this. In this country, this hadith I'm telling you. Whatever trouble and difficulty of the more difficult and troubles and hardship there is, the more you'll be close to Rasulullah in the hereafter. The more. Closer. Yes, the more a person will be close to Rasulullah in the hereafter if he's practicing through the difficult phase and environment in this world. But we're wasting this great opportunity in our lives. Will we practice the sunnah, my brothers? Tomorrow's Jummah, inshallah, everyone should come with, pray Jummah with the imamah. And if anyone speaks rubbish, this person stopping me, then I've told you it's fitna. Don't keep on saying, oh, what is the necessity of this? The double punishment you give, that you are accusing people, double punishment you'll give. Will you wear the imam? Inshallah. True promise? Inshallah. Don't pray Jummah without this. Why? You'll get so much reward. 100 shaheed thawab. Now, go home. And don't sleep like animals. If we've come here to this environment, then take the benefits. Sleep according to the sunnah. What's the tariqah? Beautiful thing, you go. Say, okay, if you can't do it, no problem. You're lazy, whatever. Allah's given so much. Just do this much, that rinse your mouth in the evening and do miswak. Say, Subhanallah. Miswak, is it difficult? Before sleeping? Take it from the masjid. You can buy it from here, etc. Get the miswak. Yes, if it's not free, pay a pound for it. What difference does it make? Miswak, keep it with you when you go to sleep. Before sleeping, use the miswak. Okay, one action you've done. How many shaheed thawab? 100. And if you don't do this, a person who doesn't believe in these is a munafiq. He doesn't have iman. If he says, how will I get this word? Then he becomes a disbeliever. Because he's going against the hadith. If you don't trust what the Prophet said, then you're a disbeliever. You're a total munafiq, hypocrite. No iman. If you don't have conviction. If we say, we leave you, how will I get this word? Then he's gone. He's free from the deen. If he doubts or rejects, but says, Subhanallah, 100 sheath of up. Do the miswak and go towards the bed. Now you have to sleep, isn't it? So do another action. That rather than sleeping and lying down like animals, sleep on your right side and say, Allah, I'm sleeping according to the sunnah of your Habib. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. How much thawab? 100 shaheed. 100 shaheed. Yes. So don't you feel like now passing away soon, because one shaheed thawab is so great. Allah says in the Quran, you cannot recognize the thawab of a shaheed. You cannot come to your understanding. And that person, this is that shaheed. One shaheed. Yeah? But that person who is the shaheed of Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after practicing the sunnah, then what thawab will he get from Allah? That Allah will say that he is the person who gave his all for my Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So will you make an excuse now? Oh, this is stopping me, that's stopping me. Is this not nonsense? Is it not rubbish? Of course. So now, you've come to the bed, two sunnahs I've told you. Will you do this from today, inshallah? Miswak and lying down on your right. So now, solid promise, we need to make our lives free and pure from the fitnas. We have to promise Allah from today we'll try. So what's the tariqah Rasulullah has told us to be saved? Say Subhanallah. Now comes the subject, the formula. Yes, that we need to prevent the fitnas from coming to life. Dajjal will come. Every day the fitnas are raining down. So many fitnas. Listen to the hadith. Then in the morning a person will be a mu'min, in the evening he'll be a person without iman. Now Allah forgive us, we don't know. Have we got iman or have we got no iman? So many examples, our yaqeen, our words, our discussion, our lifestyle, our thinking, our picking up the Quran, our reading the Quran, looking at the Quran, learning knowledge, has become so dangerous today, so dangerous that we don't even know if that person's in the condition or state of iman, I'll tell you the truth. So I am trying to generate fikr and worry and concern today. It's not easy. It's not easy in this day and age that we're passing through. Allah's Nabi said, in the morning he's a mu'min, in the evening maybe he hasn't got iman. We don't know if he's going to die as a mu'min or as a person without iman. So we have to be cautious, careful in life. And this is the method I'm telling you to be safe from this. Allah's Nabi said, it cannot be that if you follow my formula to be safe from the fitnas, then it cannot be that you will not die as a mu'min. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah's Nabi has given us the formula hadith. In Fazail you'll read this. The pious elders have stated this. Fantastic hadith. Small formulas of points of the deen, not lengthy formulas. Oh, we have to listen to Bukhari Sharif for hours, 1 hour tafsir, we don't know what the deen is. No, these are small points that makes a person a wali of Allah, friend of Allah. I guarantee to you today on these few points, if you do amal practice, alhamdulillah, guarantee I give, forget about wilayah, that second, you'll become a kutab, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I guarantee you, you'll become this. Just practice these few points. 4 points I've told you. Yes, you'll become a kutab. High level wali of Allah. So easy is our deen. And the next point I'm about to tell you is protection. In this world, no force or evil or fitna of the world. There's no bigger fitna than Dajjal. But any formula coming, guarantee coming from the Prophet ﷺ, he said that even Dajjal will fail in front of this formula, in front of this protection. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So will we implement this? Inshallah. Yes? For example, if I swear at someone or break somebody's heart or break somebody's mosque or church or synagogue, I'm talking about love now. Love that can look after your deen. Why do you speak ill and do ill to other people? Say subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, because everyone knows this hadith. It's not some new hadith I'm reading. Many of you have read this before. We've discussed it before. It's mentioned in the Fadail. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, I order you, I instruct you, these are the words of the hadith I've read. I instruct you, I order you that do dhikr of Allah in abundance, in high quantities. Say subhanallah. Say again subhanallah. Look at the glory of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to the universe. He said, I instruct you, order you. He gave order for this reason, not to pester us, so that he can save us from the wrong. Because you don't understand these points, foolish people. You don't understand that I'm giving you a very strong formula and cure. Maybe there's not strong love between me and you. But when my order comes to you, you'll have to implement it. That's why he instructed us to do this. Ashik, the lovers, there will be those, oh, I need to go on a march and shout out. For an hour, we'll shout and go on conferences. And after that, we'll leave the deen. Yes, half a day, half an hour, 1 hour. Just to satisfy ourselves, then we'll disappear. Yes, half a month the knots will happen. That month is coming, the knots and the person reading knots, they'll disappear. This is not the love that Allah Ta'ala wants. Allah says that in that day and age, love, so called showing of love, will not save you. There will be nifaq, hypocrisy. The people who claim that they're the lovers of Allah and Rasulullah, they'll be the biggest munafiqs. They'll be claiming love, but they will be going opposite to the sunnah. All of their actions will be against my sunnah. And whoever is against my sunnah, marragaba means falaysa mini. The Prophet said, I have no link with that person whose face isn't correct, his appearance isn't correct, his life isn't correct. Then what link do I have with that person? Hadith, I'm telling you, this hadith. Keep your deen to yourself, your salah, your Quran, Rasulullah said. This is not going to be beneficial to you. Beneficial will be one thing to you, that if you are obedient, and you imitate and follow the Prophet ﷺ. So if you want to go into paradise, you want to be safe from hellfire, then grab hold of the Prophet ﷺ's lifestyle with firmness. This is not a drama. This is not a game. This is nifaq if we don't follow his ways. This is fitna. This is lack of iman. If you want to be a lover of Allah and Rasulullah ﷺ, then subhanallah, the lover of the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't claim to be a lover. Rather, people say that he is a great person. The generation remembers him, that he was a lover of Allah and his Rasul. He's passed away, and he spread the fragrance of the deen, of the sunnah, of Allah's deen. And the people after him for generations remember him. He doesn't claim to be a lover. The people, they testify to his being a good person, that he revived the sunnahs of the Prophet ﷺ. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Nabi ﷺ said, I'm ordering you, instruct. Do you understand what order is? This is his love, his affection. Because we don't want to follow the life of drama. You're stuck in fitnas. You keep on listening to nasheeds, and you make money on writing nasheeds, and you think you're a lover. So Rasulullah said, no, this is not the proof of my love. Proof is that the hukam, observing and implementing the hukam, is greater than claiming you are love. Because a person, he follows and implements the orders of Rasulullah, just like the Sahaba. They were eating, subhanallah. So let's say there's a vegetable, and people say in Punjabi, and we say in Gujarati, there's a name for this vegetable. In Urdu we have a name, this is vegetable. So we, to certain vegetables, say this is vegetable sharifa, because there's a link with the Prophet. This is adab as well. The ashik, he gets adab and respect. The ashik, the lover of the Prophet, then after everything of the Prophet, he adds the word sharif. Respected, honorable. Is this bidah? This is not bidah. Innovation, this is love. He's not doing this as a bidah, as innovation. This becomes his habit. He says honorable things about the son. Mother, let's take the mother. That, for example, if the son's nose is long, he has big ears, she says, oh my beautiful dear son, oh my moon, oh my star, my son. To that son, he may be not be handsome, but she loves him so much, she doesn't see his negative parts. So whoever loves the Prophet, imagine his hal. He who's lover of the Prophet, just like Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu. What was his hal? When he was saying these things, he was immersed in the love of the Prophet. Say subhanAllah. And he was the most handsome. So shouldn't we be ashiks? This is how we should be lovers. So Dhoti Sharif, the Sahaba, great Sahaba they were, noble companions of radiallahu anhum. And he was eating the pumpkin. He was eating the pumpkin or vegetable like that. Someone said, you're eating this with so much passion. He said, why not? My Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallam, he liked this as well. And this was the basis of their life. That if they ever heard that the Prophet ﷺ liked this, there was no instruction from Allah that eat this vegetable or this fruit. Was there any hukum? No. But this was the basis of their love. That whatever Rasulullah ﷺ liked, they also liked. The Sahaba. Love. Love. That's why Allah has said that muhabbat is higher. If a person is ashik, he doesn't wait for the instruction. He looks at the lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he do? That what was the life of the Prophet? What was his style? He doesn't say, oh, did he wear imamah? Straight away he'll put the imam on. Did he like the white clothes? He'll wear the white clothes. Did he sleep like this, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? I'll sleep like this. Did he drink water like this? I'll drink water like this. So either a person follows and attaches himself to the Prophet ﷺ, he doesn't wait for orders, he just reads, understands and learns and follows. So today the reason why we are far from the sunnah is not close to us, this tells us clearly that we don't have love for the Prophet ﷺ. We have salah, hajj, tabligh, everything, but we won't get close to the Prophet ﷺ because we don't have love inside our hearts. If we had love, then all of the doubts and the excuses will come out. We wouldn't ask for proofs. We don't ask for dalil. Ishq, love, never demands dalil. It just asks, did you see this? Did the Prophet say this? Did he do this? That's it. Sahaba Ikram, they heard, did he do this? He said this. Immediately he lifted up his izar from below his ankles and tore off the portion under his ankles. He said, from today I'll keep my garment above the ankles. He didn't ask for proof and go and reconfirm. What was this? Love. This was the proof of their love. They heard and they did. He didn't say, should I wear white, not wear it? Should I, how do I put this on, black or white or this color? One thing, proofs come, Rasulullah ﷺ like this, and then everything he will start to do according to the sunnah. How can we know like that? Everyone has a desire, but a person suppresses his desires for the preference of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah's watching everything. He's looking at everything. And when will this come? This doesn't come by forcing a person. Hey, what does the Prophet ﷺ say? He orders us. I'm giving you instruction. Why? Because your love is weak today. So let me order you so you can implement this and you get benefit. Rasulullah said, I order you do dhikr in abundance, high quantity. So will we do this or not? Inshallah. So where's the order coming from? Suppress your claim to love and follow the instruction. Oh, there's no benefit. Where's it written? Why do I have to do this much? This is also dhikr. I'm doing other actions with dhikr. Beware, don't say this again. What does the hadith say? Do dhikr kathir. Why? Because the hadith tells us why, because it's attached to the fitnas. What is the benefit? For this reason, the example of this is that when a person has an enemy running after him and he's running from his enemy, the enemy is about to grab him, he runs, he sees a fort, a castle, he runs into that castle, then he's protected from the enemy. He's locked out from the enemy. It's stated that dhikr of Allah is the same. When the fitnas will run after you, they will scarper after you, stop you from salah, stop you from observing parda, stop you from doing good deeds, stop and take you towards sins, and take you towards music and singing, then only one thing can save you. What is that? The dhikr of Allah is the only thing that can save you at that time. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. And then it's stated further, the dhikr of Allah, it will save you from the fitnas, just like the castle protects a person from all the fitnas, from his enemy shaitan. Then as soon as you start dhikr and you become a dhakir, then you will be protected. And then all the work of the deen, you will never stop it, because fitna cannot come into your life. And it's stated not just this, rather when you do dhikr, then you'll be safe from the enemies, you'll be safe from shaitan. But for this, Allah Ta'ala says, when you be entered into this mold of life, when you start to do dhikr in high quantity, then Allah will also become close to you. And your assistant, say subhanallah, your helper, subhanallah. So tell me, isn't this a great action, the dhikr of Allah? Isn't it? So those who do dhikr morning and evening, how can he enter into the life of fitna? That's why stated for the dhakirin, they will enter into paradise laughing, smiling. So they will not be scared of doing good deeds. They won't be afraid of practicing sunnah or praying salah. They'll run after the sunnah. Oh, where's this written? Oh, shall I wear here? Can I take it off here? Can I leave it here? No, this won't be the base of life. They'll become ashiks, lovers of the sunnah. So much they'll be lovers of the sunnah. They won't even realize, where are they? Which part of the world am I in? Just one recognition, one basis of life. They will continue to follow the sunnah wherever they are. So this you will all get after doing dhikr in high quantity. These good feelings of following the sunnah, you will get from when you do dhikr. So these are very beneficial words that we discussed today. Just a few words that summarize that. What is the benefit? Today we say this much reward, this much thawab. Reward is there. It's there. But how can dhikr of Allah make us proper Muslims? How will it protect our iman? How will it save us from sins? Me, you, our children. It is lazim, essential to do dhikr. Essential. Not just dhikr, dhikr kathir, high quantity dhikr. Yes. And dhikr kathir, the sign of that is, well, this morning do dhikr of Allah, evening dhikr of Allah, nighttime dhikr of Allah. And dhikr will come when you go to the people of dhikr, the teachers of dhikr. Isn't this the case? So those, alhamdulillah, who want to learn dhikr, remembrance of Allah, you'll understand what I'm saying. If someone says and feels I want to be a dhakir, come to me with ease, relax. Come to me after the majlis. I'll prescribe the dhikr to you for just take 2 minutes, and after that your heart will become alive to Allah, Allah, Allah. Then you won't say, oh wait, I don't feel like it. You'll become a dhakir 24 hours a day, and 24 hours a day you'll be in that castle, in the fort. 24 hours a day. The people who do dhikr qalbi, who do maraqabah, always they're immersed and occupied in the dhikr of Allah. Always they're protected by the dhikr of Allah. And that's how they're protected from big, big fitnas. That they've come close to the sin. Close to the sin. I'll tell you the reality here. They're very close to the sin, and fitna is about to grab him. But because he's a dhakir, he's doing dhikr of Allah, Allah immediately extracts him from the sin. Extracts him. He's about to do sin, embarking on sin, close to the sin, and the right opportunity, at the right time, Allah Ta'ala extracts him and takes him away from the sin, due to dhikr of Allah. How Allah Ta'ala assists and helps. So close he's about to do sin, he's about to jump into sin, all his deeds are to be about to be wasted, his dhikr, his Ramadan, fitna has come close to him, he's so close to the sin, suddenly Allah Ta'ala orders the angels, go and save him, Allah saves that person. And this is the effect of dhikr of Allah, my brothers. So kathira dhikr is what? They do dhikr with your heart every second, at home, work, shop, driving a taxi, business. Your heart is saying Allah, 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 Allah. So inshallah, whoever wants to learn today, after the majlis, dhikr gathering, come to me. I'll prescribe and teach you dhikr. Let's do dhikr now for a little while. Bismillah. شبه المسلم دار ياسين الحبيب اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمدٍ
وسلم تسليما دائما ابدا قصيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا ويدنا وخطانا وامدنا يا ربنا يا حيّ يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان ودخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات اطفى بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفى مرادنا اللهم اغفنا في بدني اللهم اغفنا في سمعي اللهم اغفنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.